חברים, חברות, אנחנו נכנסים להכנה לשיעור, נקרא קטע לקראת ההכנה. מתוך דרגות הסולם, עניין ראש חודש.
Friends, we're going to read a passage. It is an introduction for the lesson. We don't have an English text. This month of Nisan is the beginning of all months. It is the head, the beginning. And the first beginning is when the Creator took us out of Egypt, because this thing is above nature, and man cannot walk but only on the path of nature, and only the Creator can do deeds that are not as nature. And man was created with the nature of a desire to receive only for himself. That's why he cannot do any deeds that will be for bestowal. And since that is the only thing that is demanded from man in this world, that his whole intention will only be in order to bestow. When he starts the work, he sees it is impossible. But he is still demanded to ask the Creator for help, to go on the path of bestowal. But man needs to believe that the Creator listens to his prayer. That's why man is forced to believe that the Creator took us out of Egypt from the desire to receive to oneself, and to the measure that he believes in that. In that exact measure, he can demand from the Creator that he will too receive that gift to be taken out of the land of Egypt. And only then, when he prays from the walls in his heart, then the Creator can take him out of Egypt. That's why it's called the head of all months, because before we go out of Egypt, we can't attain any renewing in the Torah.
חברים וחברות,
dear friends, we are first of all asking, please check that all your cell phones are off. We are going into a very special lesson, the seventh lesson of Passover. Please be concentrated in the lesson and only ask questions about what we're studying.
I just heard that words of blessing that our friend Litve said about let my people go. And I think that we have to scrutinize that matter a bit. What does that mean, let my people go? Pharaoh is a very, very special force. And still we're lacking a bit of awareness about him. First of all, how can it be that Jacob, who came after his sons into Egypt, that he's blessing Pharaoh? Right? That's what it says. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. How could that be? That Jacob, the middle lion, chosen of the fathers, that he is blessing Pharaoh. It's a sign that this force is very special, that we really need it, and we're demanding from it, and we're expecting from help from it. And afterwards, we see that the Creator is offering Moshe, go to Pharaoh, tell him this, turn to him, talk to him. Why? To bless Pharaoh. That also Jacob did that. Why would the Creator, instead of doing the job, he tells Moses, no, you go there, you ask him once in your name, once in my name. How can it be that there's even business with Pharaoh? Pharaoh should say, I'm asking you to cancel him. I'm asking you to organize all of this. Why do I have to go and ask him from that horrible force? That he will let us go, that it's really, where's any logic here? I mean, there's no one else besides him, right? Probably Moses isn't with all of the people of Israel in Enel Milvado yet. And that's why, to the measure that he feels that he's under the Pharaoh's control, he has to turn to him. And the Creator advises him to do it, how to behave with his evil inclination. And many things like that, the approach to Pharaoh and the very interesting relations with him in all of this story. And then that Pharaoh, well, he brought them closer, and it's also sacrificed the people of Israel, that he was left alone in Egypt. Everything in Egypt, everything goes out of Egypt, and Pharaoh is left there alone. As if everybody goes, he closes the door, and he's there alone. Very special force. So we need to know that. And also, what is it that he swallowed the preachers and then vomited it out? That Pharaoh swallows and swallows all of our exertions, all of our success, everything we have, in the sense and the sense in our efforts, where we succeed or where maybe not succeed so much, it all goes into Pharaoh, and he swallowed it all, and then he gives it back. It's some kind of, he's some kind of like a faithful slave. He's really a force that he gathers all of our exertion, and he does his job faithfully. And only when we're really ready, then he lets all of our exertion go, and it becomes that vessel that with it we can go out of Egypt. We need to treat it, our ego, that force, in a more, how do I say it, with more importance, understanding, not with like just disregarding it. We see how by Jacob turning to Pharaoh, the Creator to Pharaoh, Moshe to Pharaoh, how all these things become not just a story, but they teach us how to work and in a very colorful way with our ego and to know how to deal with it, get along with it, that all these vessels, we need to take him back and take him out of there and only leave him net, just him alone, meaning the intention in order to receive, but all those forces that we try to work with in order to bestow towards unity, that all, we get it back and we take it out of there. That's why, let my people go. Really, the Creator can't do that. He's only offering, he's advising Moshe to turn to Pharaoh, to that big ego. And if there's truly a force to ask, to demand, to request it, then it happens. So, if a man can get along with his ego and he's prepared to, well, on his prior exertion, he can already demand it from him, then the Creator starts doing the job and a miracle happens, and not by an angel, but the Creator himself, in his revelation, takes man out of Egypt, out of the entire desire in order to receive. He comes above it. Gives him the force of bestow, faith above reason. That's what I've heard from him speaking. That we need to give more importance to that ego. It's the whole force of creation that is still in order to receive with that intention, under the intention to receive. And we need to approach it in that way and work with him in all kinds of different ways. Then we'll be able to find the point of Moshe in us. In what was he, in what did he grow exactly till the age of 40 in the house of Pharaoh? What exactly is in him that he needed to take all of that, his education from Pharaoh, and then correct it specifically by Ito, and then he can stand in that way that he takes everything away from the control of Pharaoh. It's, these things are very deep. There's layers and layers of the desire to receive that is like mixed up with all kinds of intentions, different intentions in order to receive, and how through them we go out to the desire to bestow. We take the vessels, we process them, that it's a memory of the Exodus, that we always say that in correcting the vessels, that we're trying to awaken them, those desires that we have left Egypt with from in order to receive, and gradually correct them in order to bestow. This is all to the thanks to Pharaoh that has gathered all those efforts, swallowed them, and later he gives it back to us. When we're ready, when we're really ready to correct them. Meaning the faithful servant. So see it as a colorful, deep, has a nice big volume. It's not simple. Help, special help, on behalf of the force that's against the Creator, that thanks to Him, we know the upper force. We reach Dvikut in Him. Okay, I just wanted to, after he spoke about let my people go, I wanted to add a bit about that. That's it. Is that clear, right? No questions? Moti, yeah, please.
In order for us to know who we're dealing with, to be facing this Pharaoh, you started describing a certain profile. I'll ask a simple question. Maybe we can create a profile here. Is Pharaoh considered wise? Is Pharaoh wise?
He's wise, and he can turn us around, that we specifically from our reality with his forces, we will discover as much as we need to disconnect from him. Meaning he's teaching us about the good things through showing us the bad things. And it's a place where he is under control and not the Creator. As much as we try and try, it's the difference of the darkness and light. It's like a period.
How can we prepare ourselves to cope against this quality? There is something, you know, usually that he's marked in a way that, you know, you have to watch out from that kind of wisdom.
Well, we don't have to fear him. We have to respect him. Respect him. We need to treat that force as important, special force, smart force. It's a creation. The desire to receive it, just the plain one, it's just matter. It is a creation, but it's just matter. The desire to bestow that enters the desire to receive and builds it as an exact copy of himself. that actually builds from that matter everything that's in the Creator, but in the opposite way. The 49 gates of impurity, except for the 50th gate, because that's such a stony heart. We'll talk about it. It's not, we don't need it right now. So we need to understand that that monster is very smart, it's very deep. It leads us to Gemar Tikkun only in a way that it releases its qualities and lets us prepare it for correction. You shouldn't like just dwell on it all the time. We're not doing a research about it on Pharaoh, but it's enough that we relate to it with attention, because that's our life, that's our world, it's the entire matter of creation that's in order to receive after the shattering, and we're correcting it. It's not for nothing that Jacob blessed him, or Creator says, go to Pharaoh and turn to him, and so on. And also that stubbornness with the 10 plagues, it's all a force against the force of bestow that holds us, in order for us to scrutinize till the last detail what the difference between in order to receive and in order to bestow is. It's a divine system. And right now, we have a connection to it. Yes, Saba. Grandpa.
Rav, I wanted to know, what is the meaning of this turn appeal to Pharaoh? Let my people go. It's clear that he's not going to do it. And only the Creator will do it also. This appeal to Pharaoh, let my people go. What for?
First of all, who told you to do that? The Creator. Right? Let my people go. It's the upper force, the Creator, that supposedly there's none else besides him, and he in charge of everything and above everything, and he tells the Creator, I'm for you, I want your good, I want to help you get out of Egypt and to be my sons, my loved ones. So go to Pharaoh, please. I'm asking you, go to Pharaoh and ask him to let you out of Egypt, that he'll give you the opportunity to leave. Look how we... what are we supposed to understand from this? The Creator isn't able to help man only if Pharaoh agrees. Meaning, man here must understand that he has a problem with the system of his intentions in order to receive. That if the system is still alive, that it still has hope, that there might be some livelihood in order to receive fulfillment, life, then he can't demand Pharaoh to such an extent, even though he says, let my people go, right? But Pharaoh won't agree. There's not enough force in the request to really leave yet. Do we have that force in our demand today, in our internal demand to actually exit? That's the question. That's why the way that these systems purity and impurity are once against each other, where are we in there? That demand has to be constant, come out of man to his evil inclination. But when will it happen? When man really is just despaired on his whole life, that he can't get any supplies from Pharaoh, that he has to get out in order to bestow, that only in that he can find life. Okay? Oh. Yes. Bensi, translate.
То есть отпусти народ мой. Это напрямую связано с теми усилиями, которые поглощал фараон.
This means that let my people go is directly connected to all the great exertions that that Pharaoh has followed up.
Yes, the more and more we press, the as much as we try to leave. And I'm reminding that all of this belongs only towards unity, because all of the work from Abraham that gives the method of correction, that it's only for unity, love thy friend as thyself, and on that whole process is only unity, unity, unity. When we speak about success or lack of success in anything to the sons of Israel throughout this whole process, we're only talking about their tendency towards unity, and as much as Pharaoh or our ego turns us around and still brings us back. Another lack of success, another one, another despair, another just helplessness. Again, I'm not interested, I don't want it, and so on. And that is called that every time he swallows our exertion, we fall and have to start again. But what does it mean again? It's not from zero, it's from a new, higher degree. And again, try and unite in that same direction, and grab ourselves and organize ourselves as much as we can as one man and one heart. And maybe we're succeeding for a moment, and again Pharaoh swallows it and we fall, and so on. Those are the degrees that he's organizing for us to give us an opportunity and fall again, opportunity and fall again. And that is that's why it's called that he swallows it and swallows it, that force, chel, Pharaoh's soldiers, his army, and he gathers it inside the desire to receive, till it reaches the 49th gate, and he swallows it, he vomits it out. He gives it back to us, so we can, from that force that has accumulated there from our exertion, we can unite into the exact measure so we can overcome the ego, and that is called the exodus, or the birth. And that's how we get out of there. Yes.
In the work that we do, if I feel that my ego, my will to receive, I don't want to identify with it. I want to identify with the Creator. Here you come and say that there is a force called Pharaoh. You have to respect it. You have to cope against it.
With God's help.
What does that mean?
If you... What are you going to be, to come against him with? There's two forces in nature, desire to receive and desire to bestow. So what are you going against, the desire to receive? It says, a man will always turn his good inclination towards his bad inclination against him, and have a war and all those sentences. That you have to find yourself that you're always between these two forces, and they are like rubbing you, and they're working between themselves in a good way, in a mutual way. Between them, don't worry, they understand each other completely. It's two systems that are really, what you need to do is how to use left over right and right over left in order to stabilize the middle line.
Yes?
Meaning that there is some addition here from the ordinary work where I'm coping with my own desires, which I recognize as Pharaoh. There is some addition here when you say that you have to respect him. What does it mean to respect him?
Respect him, I mean that it's a complex system. It's complete, it's full in all kinds of ways. It swallows all of your exertion on purpose and adds more desire to receive in like little packets, doses, and it makes it even bigger and bigger and bigger. And you try to unite over it with the others. You'll succeed for a second, and it swallows it right away, your success, and gives you an even bigger desire to receive. Now deal with it. And with that desire to receive that it gives you, you feel darkness, and so on. Now also, what does darkness mean? Is that desire to receive you get? It could be not darkness. You have to recognize the darkness only towards unity. It could be that they give you forces and a good feeling, and you have this feeling of livelihood, and you call it an ascent. Why is that an ascent? But they're driving you off the path from the direction. You always have to know how to deal between those two systems. And the main thing is to scrutinize yourself towards unity. That is the vessel that towards it we always reach. We always want to raise that. Yes.
Can we say that as if there is a state where the concealment drops off me so I can see things clearer?
No, you're always going to see something worse. You're always going to see heavening of the heart, burdening of the heart, more and more and more. And that's the 7 years of hunger that you see you can't and you can't. At first you feel, yeah, that you can unite with everybody and there's some kind of success. You build a group. We succeed. We're special. We're studying these articles together. We're succeeding. And suddenly you go into this different period that doesn't really draw you anymore. It's not interesting for the desire to receive. You don't feel that it's complimenting you in any way. And then people leave. At that point is when people leave, except for those few. And that's that special point, is when man starts scrutinizing himself towards Pharaoh, that he understands that in that way he has to work. That's like if you work at the bank, you work with the bank, you add another 100 shekel, you know you're going to get it with interest. But this is an emotional matter that you keep adding. And also in all kinds of actions in our life. In mitzvot, men are taught, and so on. It's they do it because of they're taught like that from childhood. But in the work of the Creator, it's different. That whatever you built, boom, you lose it. You have emptiness, darkness, because the desire to receive right away a new one is added in a higher degree, and you feel that everything was swallowed. And where is it? You don't see it. So if you can depict that system correctly, that it needs to swallow it with that awareness that is in society, then, so we're working in a more the mature way that we understand, we feel how we're advancing, then, okay, so we fall and get up, we fall and get up. Then we can support each other.
And we understand that every little penny is added to a big sum, and everybody adds to that bank that where all of our exertions are, and they all unite together. Also, I wanted to, if we're already on this opportunity, say something about what is the 49 gates of impurity? Meaning that you prepare in more exertion, and another little exertion to unite and unite and unite, and everybody adds a bit of their own exertions, and you build a system of connections between you, but that connection is always turns out to be in order to receive in the end. But it's a system. And the system of connections that you build with everybody are the 49 gates of impurity. That's a great possession. It's a great possession that you have built it. You have bit all of Pharaoh's riches. You fulfilled him with vessels of gold and silver and everything. He got rich by you. That all of your intentions to connect in order to bestow, where's the Creator, where's our studying, all these things, you gather and gather, and it's all swallowed. And the system of impurity is built. And that way, 49 gates are built of impurity. And then what you have put together there inside of Pharaoh, then you take it. Just to understand, that system is very, how do I say it? Very deductive. It's a program, it's a software. And precise and persistent. It's methodological. And it gathers all of our exertions and why these people unite together and those in faraway places and these here in Israel and here specifically in Bnei Baruch and Petach Tikva, and why is it organized like that? Why does everybody exert and everybody, one influences the other? It's like a computerized system. And this is what it, according to how it has to be on the in the general system. And that we just have to exert and that's it, towards unity. That's why it's the work of darkness. And then in sanctity, when we start ascending, then we already see the things. As much as we go in faith above reason, we start knowing the system of the Creator. But then this all starts from what we have built in Egypt. What else can I tell you about it? I don't know. Anyway, it's something very big, and the whole system. Truthfully, there aren't two systems. It's just this one system that you build it and build it, and then you start working with it onward in order to bestow. Yes. Give it to him. I have two questions. One, there's the burning of the heart by Pharaoh, on one hand. And then there's a sentence that you said that a man will always turn his good inclination on his evil inclination. There's like two movements here. What's burdening the heart of Pharaoh? And is that something I do? When I make my evil inclination mad by the good inclination?
No, Pharaoh's burdening of the heart is done by the corresponding system, the system of sanctity that stands against Pharaoh. As it says in the Torah, go to Pharaoh because I have burned in his heart. That is, the light that shines actually amplifies Pharaoh, makes him greater until we leave him. Until we leave Pharaoh, all the light that we add up, it actually, the other way around, it raises, increases the darkness. This is called the burdening of the heart, meaning it brings you a greater will to receive, it increases it in order for you to work with it. So it's actually all for your benefit. I have burdened his heart, it's done by the light, by the Creator. Yes?
So if you can maybe give an example, what does it mean that I'm making the evil inclination mad inside of me with my good inclination?
That means to be between the two systems and to try to constantly connect with the group. By that you're drawing the reforming light, and by that you're increasing the left line, the system of impurity. That's it? It's the same? There was somebody else there? Yes? Quickly?
We study that our whole path is going between opposites. The question still, I remember that, I don't remember where it's written, but that we have to hate our desire to receive.
Yes.
So how, if you can maybe direct us to also hate him and also respect him?
To the extent that I love connection, that I yearn for it, to that extent I will hate the will to receive. Very simple. There's no other way. The will to receive, that I need to hate, is the one that stands in my way of connecting, uniting.
So how can I respect them?
Well, who told you that an enemy or somebody that you hate, you don't respect them? Why not respect them? If you realize that these are two forms of a single system and one supports the other, and by hating it you reach love for the Creator, then you respect him. It is help made against him. I now, let's say, I have this software on my computer that if I write something with mistakes, it shows me the mistakes. So I hate, do I hate this software? Even though it corrects me as if it shows me where I'm wrong. If you are above all of these things and your goal is adhesion with the Creator, and from him you already observe all the different components that need to be there in order to reach that adhesion, then hatred for Pharaoh is a scrutinized hatred. It's a hatred of an expert. Well, speak to military people. In what way do they hate the enemy, compared to an ordinary person? An ordinary person, I'm willing to do this. These guys, the army people, they do it differently, right? Well, not just they say that you need to respect them and watch out from them. They actually do, you know, respect them, they honor them. There's a certain attitude to them, to their personality, to everything. It's not just, you know, a childish attitude.
Pharaoh isn't actually looking for the sons of Israel. He's looking for the Creator. He wants to be against him. Israelites aren't bothering him. They're slaves. It's a big Pharaoh. He could have slaves anyway. But if I look at myself, so my ego, my Pharaoh, isn't looking for Amnon. It's nothing for him. He's looking for the one guiding Amnon. That's who he wants. That's the thing. Me? For my ego? It's...
So what's the question?
The question is that right that it's like that? Then except for really clinging onto the Creator, what do I have anything else to do?
So he's helping you in that. He's helping you. He's showing you precisely what else you need to do in order to cling to the Creator.
Meaning, is it true that Pharaoh isn't looking for the Israelites, but he's looking to be against the Creator, that the Israelites are like a bait to call the Creator on him to see who's stronger?
I don't know. You work with systems, right? You realize that this is a system in general, other than a man who feels there is no other sensation in reality. The sensation is us. We are sentient beings, and we glue to each and everything our emotions. This is pleasant, this is tasty, this is bad, this is good, etc. But other than myself, there is no such concept of a feeling, a sensation, a good feeling, a bad feeling. It is a system, simply a system. And also when we reach love, unity, it is all with respect to a person. So, let's just keep going, and we're going to come to know this system. I promise you, you'll get to know Pharaoh. Don't worry about it. You're not going to run away from him. Yes, Mutlu.
In internal work, person at least solves or tries to scrutinize the things inside him. What discernments can a person get when he can say that this is the Creator in me, pushing me to turn to Pharaoh?
This is what we have to reach. It's a revelation already. When a person feels that the Creator is telling him, go to Pharaoh because I have burdened his heart.
And that's what I wanted to ask. That so there's a fulfillment in Egypt before we leave. So it's the Creator telling Moshe, go to Pharaoh.
Well,
so those discernments, first we have to discover the Creator.
Of course we need to discover him. Who says that in Egypt we don't discover him? We discover him, but in a particular manner, not inside of the desires that already reach a certain form called Creator, Bore, not in order to bestow unity, rather a revelation as an accompanying force, as a force that is drawing us forward, encouraging us, pushing us forward.
Have another question. In our advanced stages in Egypt, we sometimes receive the sermons that it pushes us away from unity, but there's also a feeling that he pulls, or like he gives us his keeping, his love. There's like a rejection and toughness, but on the other hand, there's like, he's like, count on me. He's like watching on us. So between those two discernments and feelings, it isn't so clear what to do. Because if I just got a blow, I can say, I still don't understand, I'm advancing. But on the other hand, he also gives a feeling that it's even twice as confusing. I don't know if I'm able to...
Now, if you scrutinize everything towards the point of connection, that's what we need. That's it. If you scrutinize everything towards the point of connection, then you won't be confused. There's no confusion. Immediately you arrange these things in a clear, short manner. And then you also relate to Pharaoh as to a constructive force.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask, because if I discover something that's against unity, I can curse, I can be mad, but on the other hand, if it's against the rejection, I can see I'm also getting help, so it's not so clear how to deal with it, how to relate to it.
If a person receives help?
Yeah, because
But if you receive help, meaning that you have the will and the strength and the direction to invest in the group and to bring it towards unity.
But man lacks the force.
But you said you're receiving help, so what kind of help is it?
Like direction, an understanding that
you have the thought, but you don't have the desire.
There's no desire, no yearning, and no forces.
If there is only a thought and there is no desire, then there is room for prayer. Meaning, you are aware of what you need to do, so you're asking for desire. Yes? Maybe we should finish this topic?
There's Pharaoh that I understand that I'm mostly made of him and my desires to receive.
Other than the animal, the part of the Adam in me is... It is just a point, but it's the beginning of the system of Pharaoh. The beginning of the system of impurity. Gradually, we build it. This is called that we go down to Egypt and we start to fulfill it.
And in everything you explain, I don't know who I am. Who is that I that I'm talking about in this world? And what is that creature that I'm supposed to resemble or become?
What is this creature that I should resemble? Meaning, who is the creator that I should resemble as I develop later on? I don't know. What I know is, from your actions do we know you. I can't come to know the light, the creator. I can know it in the way of come and see. That if I will build a system, and inside of this system, which is completely in all of its elements, all of its ingredients, all of its parts, it is all in reciprocal rejection, disorder, lack of connection between the parts, and I will arrange it through my request, my inclination, through my efforts, so that this system will be organized, will be correctly composed, then I will reach such a form that is called Creator, that I will discover the complete, correct system, the way that it operates, and in its complete inner force. And I will discover that force that is operating inside of the system, and I will be that system. And that force will fill me up, and I will feel how much it is happy that I have come to the point of discovering it and cleaving to it, that he and I become I as a kli and he as a light, but my kli is working light the light, like a guest who has taken on the same form as the host. And I feel how much he is enjoying that. Just like he wanted to give me pleasure to begin with.
So that's actually part of the thought of creation?
This is the entire thought of creation. All of it. All right? Good. So we can follow the program. Meaning, so it's clear, right? Again, I'm glad that he asked about let my people go. I felt that we were lacking, going fair better.
So we'll start in the book of Pesach.